and rezoning, lot 35 Day Street and lot 23 Vald Avenue, DASC 34/2013.
And we'll call down the applicant, Tony Teixeira. So here's the people in support.
We have a PowerPoint presentation.
Can you help?
Councilor Wyatt would like to. Okay. Before you start, Councilor Wyatt would like to make a point.
Thank you. Thanks, Travis. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Before you begin, Mr. Teixeira, I just wanted to, just for the resident, I know there's many folks here probably at community committee for the first time, and it's a new experience. Typically what we do, as the clerk had mentioned, is we allow the applicant to come forward who's made an application to speak. It could take 15 minutes, it could take 20, it could take 25. But what we then typically do is when we allow a representative or the person who wishes to speak first, in terms of those in opposition, to have an equal amount of time, and then typically those in favor and those in support thereafter, or for information, we give up to 10 minutes each. You don't have to use all the 10 minutes. I know it's a new experience for many folks, and it's a different process, and it's something that you might not be familiar with, but it's been employed for many decades, and it seems to work to a certain degree and address conflict resolution. So. We try to be as open, and we're here to listen and to hear all sides and to then give recommendations. And we do it, unlike a lot of other bodies, we actually do it in the open. We actually make recommendations here in the committee, so versus getting something in writing in the mail afterwards. So I'll then turn it back to you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. If you state your name and address, you have...
Tony Teixeira for JMT Holdings, 3000 Main Street, West St. Paul, Manitoba. Ladies and gentlemen, councillors, my name is Tony Teixeira, and I'm president of operations for JMT Holdings and JC Paving. JC Paving and JMT Holdings are family-owned and operated business founded in Winnipeg in 1977. Today we employ well over 150 people in the Winnipeg area and have worked very hard over the last 30 years to build a reputation based on reliability, superior service to our customers, and good citizen corporateship. We are proposing the construction of a ready-mix batch plant facility on Valdi Street in Transcona. Once construction is complete, the facility will employ 25 to 30 people on a full-time basis and create further seasonal jobs during peak periods that will be filled by local students and residents. A ready-mixed batch facility is a mixing facility and not a manufacturing plant. Our products are used in construction of homes, buildings, roads, and other infrastructure of our city. In addition to the ready-mix facility to be located at the northernmost four-acre section of our property, as you will see on the diagram right around here, we are also planning a development of a commercial and retail building on the southern 12 acres of our property. And that would be this right here. These buildings will be offered for lease, and we hope to attract tenants that will also create jobs and investment in Transcona. Also, as part of the development, on our property we'll be widening and paving Valdi Street and bringing along sewer and water services at our sole expense. And Valdi Street would be right here from Day right to the property. These long and overdue infrastructure upgrades would have otherwise been left to City of Winnipeg to complete at the taxpayers' expense. Together, the two parts of this project will require a multi-million dollar investment by us in the area, create dozens of long-term and stable jobs, and add well over $100,000 to the city tax base, and do all this while significantly enhancing the local neighborhood through superior landscaping and site design than currently exists. What are we asking for? If you take a moment to view the current slide illustrating our proposed plan, I will be able to explain to you exactly what we're asking for this evening and how it will affect the current site. We are asking to amalgamate, then subdivide existing land and create two new separate pieces of property, which would be this, which would remain M2, and this section, which would be rezoned to M3. The most northern section of the property, zoned to M3, will be located on Valdi Street. This is where the ready-mix facility would be located. This facility will be almost 2.5 football fields from the nearest property lines of the residents on Larch. So if you take it from the plant here, and you would have the property lines of the people on Larch, the residents of Larch, right down here. The majority of the land on this section of Day Street, which is occupied by Griffin Steel, is already zoned M3. As you see by the map here, and I apologize, but I believe I'm getting the right one here. I can't see very well with the light, but this is the section of Griffin Steel right here in Wheelworks. Griffin Steel is located directly across the street from Day Street in our proposed facility, which is much smaller in scale and an effect to the existing steel plant. The bulk of our property, which fronts Day Street and borders on the existing rail line on the south, is currently zoned M2, and we have no plans to request any zoning change. We plan to develop this property fronting Day Street as office and commercial space that we will offer for lease. We have developed similar projects in the community and have attracted tenants like an architect's office, a bicycle company that specializes in providing bikes for physically and developmentally challenged children, and a coffee supplier, amongst others. We are committed to being good neighbors and recognize the fact that area residents have concerns and questions. In an effort to do absolutely everything possible to address those questions and concerns, and make information readily available, we undertook a community consultation process which saw over 1,000 information brochures distributed in the community that contained details about the project and its impact on the community. The brochure also invited area residents to a community roundtable event that was held at Oxford Heights Community Club, located in the immediate neighborhood, which was held on October 10th from 5 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. We also advertised a community roundtable event in the local Herald community newspaper, and the event was widely reported by other media outlets. The community roundtable was attended by approximately 60 residents, all of whom had the opportunity to speak directly with us about their questions and concerns and speak with the professionally accredited experts who have participated in designing this project, including Jackie Wilkie of McGowan Russell and Design Associates and Brian Miller of Miller Safety and Environmental. You will hear from Mr. Miller on environmental impact in a few moments. In addition to the roundtable event, we received four emails from concerned residents that we have corresponded with, answering their questions and providing the requested information. Allow me to speak for a few moments about the various elements of this project and the impact on the immediate community. Landscape and Design. As you saw from the aerial, the plan view, we will be constructing a berm along here with the coniferous and deciduous trees along here with the that will act as a lush green buffer between the property residents and the neighbors directly to the south. As you can see in the architectural rendering, this will definitely set a new standard for future development in the area. It may be redundant, but I'd like to show you right now, as many of you know and all the residents will know, that there is the Transcona pathway that goes along here. These numbers here, number one, number two, number three, are drawings that actually show perspective of the person standing on the path. And once this landscaping is done, looking directly at the site and what they will see. So we'll go to drawing number one. My apologies. That is number one, which is basically along our south property line. As you can see here, the fence and the plantings that we plan for the area. And may I point out that this the rendering was added. This is an existing picture of the site, and this rendering is added by an architect after the fact. So this is all to scale. This is what basically the view would be from the pathway, and the only element of the concrete ready mix plant that would be visible. And we can go to item two, which would be further up the path. Once again, you see the fence and the plantings that we plan. One more. And this would be the view from Day Street once we have our commercial retail building set up. And this is again the fence that will have trees on both sides of the fence, and again what you would see from that point. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of the finished product once we're able to get going. The ready-mix site is located on the Valdi section, as I had mentioned. It'll have a 5-foot berm with a 10-foot fence on top that we see in the drawings, and lined with the trees. The Day Street property will also have, if we can go to plan view, please, the overtop, the first one in the slide, right there. We'll also have a fence and also be lined with trees with more lush plantings. These landscape initiatives will create a beautiful visual separation between both sites and our neighbors to the south. Complete renderings prepared by our landscape architects were available at the roundtable event on the 10th for residents to view. In addition, the architectural professionals from McGowan Russell who prepared the site plan were available to discuss these plans and with residents in attendance and answer any relevant questions and address their concerns. It is important to point out that we believe the landscape enhancements we are committing to will not only create and provide a buffer to both portions of development, but also enhance and beautify the neighborhood and as I had said before, set a new standard for development in the area. I just want to take a moment to run through the three perspective views again. There we have one. There we have perspective view number two and number three. Should you have any questions regarding the proposed landscaping initiatives, Jackie Wilkie from McGowan Russell is here tonight and would be happy to respond to any questions that you might have at the conclusion of my presentation. Traffic, one of the concerns that was brought up. All trucks accessing and utilizing the facility will travel east, if we can go to plan view, please. We'll be traveling east down Valdi from the plant, then going up sorry, eastbound Valley, then going north on Day, and then immediately leaving the neighborhood on Gun Road out to the perimeter. There will be absolutely no truck traffic traveling south on Day Street through the residential neighborhood. Unless, of course, with the exception that there may be a public works project that we may be working on in the area that would require delivery of product. Other than that, it would not be tolerated. The office and commercial space being built along Day would not add any significant commercial traffic to the area. Noise. The ready mix facility will operate during business hours of Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with very limited Saturday usage on peak season, and even then would only be part day. In addition, a further function of the berm, fence, and trees is to deflect some of the collateral noise that would come about. Existing facilities such as the active rail line and Manitoba Hydro Substation are located much closer to the residents of the property and cause far more noise than the proposed ready-mix facility would. Brian Miller will further address the decibel readings that he has gathered from the area and of similar ready-mix facilities shortly. Environmental. We have engaged Brian Miller of Miller Safety and Environmental to provide an environmental analysis of the project. Taking the liberty to summarize, Mr. Miller has conducted that the project poses negligible, if any, risk to local residents. Some measures that we are undertaking include the following. In order to control dust, we will be paving the surface of the entire site, right around this whole 4.5 or 4 acres here, with asphalt chips, which emit little to no dust in comparison with the standard gravel limestone lots that would be found on many sites and compounds of a similar nature. In addition, a further effort to control dust and aggregate and on stockpiles would be kept to a we would keep the stockpiles to a manageable minimum that allows us only to fill current product demand. Further, these stockpiles will be monitored by ground crews and can be wet down to eliminate trace amounts of dust during high wind days. The ready-mix plant itself is equipped with a dust collection system that transfers dust that would otherwise be emitted into the emitted to be recycled back into the system. The request zoning change from M2 to M3, I must stress, is only the first step in this process. Once the zoning has been completed, we will be required to apply to the province for an environmental license to operate the plant. We will have to submit a comprehensive environmental review that has been undertaken by Miller Safety and Environmental and have a detailed plan via a formal formal Environment Act proposal and subsequent application to the Manitoba Conservation as per the provincial legislation requirements. Without formal approval from Manitoba Conservation, an issuance of a license from them to operate we would not be able to proceed. Brian Miller, who is a very well-respected and experienced safety environment expert, is here this evening, and I would like to take the opportunity to introduce you to Brian and let him expand on this issue.
Before you, can you go back to your slide that you had up there a minute ago? Just a question. The site you have there, that big gray area.
Are we talking here?
Yeah. What is that?
That's just empty land. This will be also more buildings as we expand.
I can't hear you.
Basically will be more buildings as we expand. This is just more the rest of the land. So
that'll be buildings or parking lot or what?
Buildings and or a combination of parking lot. Correct.
All right. So then go back to item one, or slide one.
Of the perspective?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, jump back to that other slide again.
Back to the beginning one, Carlos?
No, this one here, yeah.
Okay.
So item one, or that one, that's the perspective?
Right here,
that's
yep.
What the perspective is.
Standing on the path, looking this way.
Looking in that direction, so you're kind of looking to the north, northeast, right?
Correct.
Okay, let's jump to that perspective. Okay, so my question is where that big air Remax balloon is, hot air balloon,
yes.
Right below it, all those trees, whose property are those trees on?
That, I believe, would be the ex-Domtar site, the bioreserve.
So is that Domtar's site or is that your site?
No. You know what? Honestly, I do not think that's my site. That would be part of Domtar.
So jump back to the other slide where we just were. So if I look at that number one and I'm looking straight north, okay, I'm looking up your property line on the west side, correct?
Correct.
If I'm standing at number one, jump back to the slide. If I'm standing here and I'm looking straight north where that steel pole is, that's running right through the middle of the Domtar. So that picture was taken a far bit to the west on the trail.
Yes, it may be a different angle, correct.
Yeah, so it doesn't reflect what you had on the other slide. I just want
a clear
perspective
that
this is not the...
Okay.
So really that picture there is not relevant, is it?
It doesn't appear that the angle is correct, Paul.
No, because I'm assuming where you have those spruce trees are spruce trees that you're proposing to plant.
Correct. And
so that's the beginning of, that's actually the beginning of your property.
Yes.
So really the picture, the number one, we should be about 100, 150 yards to the east. I know the area. I ride my bike.
Yes,
there
for sure.
Anyway, okay. I just wanted to clarify that because that picture didn't look right to me.
Okay.
So anyway, okay. Thanks.
If there are no questions for me, I will be back again to conclude. So if it would please everybody, I would get Brian Miller here.
Well, we call them up.
Okay.
So registered in support, Brian Miller. State your name and address, please.
Councillor Steen, I'm not finished though. Once he speaks, then I still have part of my presentation. Is that okay to break it up?
They're all together. So
yeah.
If
sure.
You're all together.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I would like to. Okay. Perfect.
Brian Miller. I'm working for GMT Holdings, 3000 Main Street, as a consultant. What I was going to present is we've done a preliminary safety, health, and environmental assessment for the proposed concrete batch plant. I've been an independent safety, health, and environmental consultant for almost 9 years, with a total of about 25 years in the environment and about 8 years directly involved in safety, workplace safety and health. I've worked as an auditor, still am an auditor actually, safety, health, and environment auditor through Manitoba Heavy Construction Association. I've been to, I think, most every batch plant in Winnipeg at least, and doing an audit for safety and environment. I've actually worked directly for a couple of the major cement distribution plants. We're talking concrete batch, but similar issues sometimes. And what I've done at this time is just a general view of the plant and the site. We've reviewed some of the best available control technologies for dust control and the other safety, health, and environmental hazards presented by a concrete batch plant. I've reviewed recent Environment Act licenses issued by Manitoba for concrete batch plants, and also reviewed requirements from other jurisdictions in North America. I did some sound testing at an existing concrete batch plant, just to give you a rough idea of the impacts or noise nuisance potential. Looked a little bit at environmental cumulative effects for the operation and the site, and then finally I just looked into monitoring of the proposed site and what you can expect for that. First off, the Manitoba Environment Act license regulates air emissions. So from a concrete batch plant, that's the various dusts, you can also have to regulate. They're regulating the industrial waste, so there can be wastewaters and materials, and also nuisance noise is also part of the license. So those are some of the main things that you can look at from the batch plant for potential sources of dust is firstly the batch plant operation. So you can have Portland cement dust released from the batch plant, sand and gravel as it's being moved in and around the batch plant. Also out in the yard, there would be stockpiles, sand and aggregate. Aggregate's the gravel, and that's mixed with the cement, the Portland cement, to provide a final product of plasticized concrete. And also another source is potentially the vehicle traffic and kicking up dust around the driving surface in and around the plant. Okay, so what you want to look at, generally when you're doing any kind of an environmental assessment, you look at the activities and the hazards, the safety, health, and environment hazards that might result from those activities, and then find the controls. How do I keep that from being a hazard to workers and the public? Okay, so controls. So controls for the batch plant operation. As Tony mentioned, there is a system in place. They're called bag houses. They're on the silos, and they capture and recycle the cement dust during loading of the silos. Another control that would be proposed would be enclosure of the drop chute out of the plant. That's where it's loaded into the trucks. This is a dry mix plant, so the trucks are actually used to mix the material once it's dropped into the vehicle. So both the drop chute and weigh hopper would be enclosed. Also, there would be a flexible boot dropping out of the drop chute, or attached to the drop chute, sorry, and that fits into the mixer truck chute. So that would help reduce dust and potential wind effects during that transfer. And then also there will be constant monitoring for dust emissions by the batch plant operator and any ground workers involved in the operation. Sand and aggregate stockpiles that would be in the yard. The sand stockpile, just for operational needs, will be enclosed. The aggregate stockpiles will be sprayed with water to eliminate dust emissions. And this controls wind erosion and dust emissions during movement of materials with the loaders commonly used to move the materials from the piles over to the feed bins. We will only be watering enough to control dust, so we will not be seeing wastewater from the stockpiles washing off of the property. And then again, constant monitoring for dust emissions. So the batch plant operator and any ground workers will know they are responsible to ensure dust emissions are controlled. Vehicle movements, as Tony mentioned, it'll be asphalt chip surface, so that will reduce the risk of dust emissions. As any surface, though, it gets deteriorated, so we'll have to maintain and water as needed. And again, it'll be monitored by the batch plant operator and the ground worker, and also the drivers. The drivers will probably complain before anyone else if we have dust problems. But one thing to look at in the environment license, as I mentioned, I reviewed some of the environment licenses that have been recently issued, and one of the ways that they measure for dust emission is called an opacity measure, and it is basically a measure of how well you can see through, say, a plume of smoke, or it's used a lot for smokestacks and that, but it can also be applied to a dust cloud. So the lower the opacity measure, the more easily you can see through it, the less obstruction there is to your view. And the license only allows for 20% over certain time periods for measurements, or 40% at any one observation. So that basically means if you go to the plant and you see dust being emitted, there's a very good chance there's non-compliance going on. Okay? Another thing you're not allowed to do is have enough dust coming off your property that you actually see it accumulating outside of your property. Okay? So those are all requirements under the Environment Act license. We have had our experience with dust. We have had some dust problems we've had to deal with at our Plessy's concrete recycling plant here in Winnipeg. Back in the fall last year, September 2012, early throughout the summer we had a lot of rain, no real dust issues, but time moved on and we had a bad combination of dry weather and a few windy days, and probably a lack of compliance amongst workers. They just didn't worry about it too much anymore for some reason. That led to some complaints filed with Manitoba Conservation. Okay, we had to deal with that right away. Manitoba Conservation informed us of the problems. They came down to the site. They did a site visit with us. We had to inform them in, I believe it was 48 hours, as to what we were going to be doing to control dust in the future. And so we implemented some of the existing controls that just weren't being used. And so once that started, we started to see an improvement. We also talked with the workers, and that's what I found in my experience in safety, health, and environment. You have to have your workers on site because they're the first line of defense. So we worked on importance and also told them that, you know, if you don't do this, there will be potential disciplinary actions. And follow-up was done by Manitoba Conservation to make sure we did do what we told them that we were going to do, and then they also have ongoing monitoring. Okay. The mixer trucks, when they come back to the yard, they'll often wash out their chutes, so to wash out the waste concrete that might still be sitting there, and sometimes partial loads will return to the yard. And so what that has to be cleaned out. So chute washouts is done into a concrete contained washout pit. Partial loads are also washed out, or a lot of companies will make concrete blocks for various purposes with those partial loads. So they'll just wash them out into a form. Again, there'll be constant monitoring by the operator and ground workers to ensure that there are no releases from our washout pit. The washout pit would be cleaned out of any solid materials that build up. There's a certain point where you have to pump out the pit. If it becomes more than 3/4 full, then you have to pump that water out. It'll have a high pH, so it has to be taken to a pollution control center for proper disposal.
Okay.
Truck washing. Truck washing will be done on the concrete pad right at that washout pit, and all the water will be drained off into that washout pit. We'll be using environmentally responsible wash agents, and the washing will not be done on excessively windy days, and there is a possible consideration for enclosing the site for washout so you don't get any material blowing all over during washout, or washing the truck, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, noise nuisance. Tony's touched on this quite a bit already, but as he mentioned, there would be wooden fencing, vegetative buffer around the property, hours of work. One of the things I've always found is that a lot of times at the facilities, the loudest thing is the reverse alarms on the equipment. Seem like you can hear those from miles. But these alarms are available nowadays that are automatically adjust to the ambient noise. And it only beeps at a loud at about 5 decibels over the ambient noise there. So because the intention of the alarm is to only be audible to workers in the immediate vicinity who have any risk of coming into contact with the machinery that's operating, high-low settings are also available, and this is all fully compliant with workplace safety and health regulations. We did do some sound testing at an existing concrete batch plant. We found the noise went back to background noise levels even within about 100 meters of that plant. That plant had no fence and very little vegetative buffer, and actually found traffic noise was almost comparable, depending on where you're standing, to the batch plant. Okay. The cumulative effects. The bioreserve right next door to the property is also identified as a contaminated site. Some great work has been done there to see it revegetated and coming back. But we should not have any cumulative effect on there because, as I mentioned, we're not allowed to have dust accumulating outside of the property. There is also a large distance, as Tony mentioned, approximately 2 football fields in length, 250 meters to the residential properties. Looking at the potential for dust emissions, there are allowable limits, like I mentioned, of the dust clouds with such an amount of opacity in that. The Environment Act license application will require us to present dispersion models and that to identify the risks. Another thing that I thought about, I used to work for the City of Winnipeg Insect Control Branch years ago as a student in the summer, and pesticide registrant. I thought, well, we could look at limiting, we could ask that we have the property identified as a buffer. 311 informed me that currently there are no buffers in place within 90 meters of the property, but if we were requested, we would consider doing that if it was a concern for people. So monitoring. This is always a big question, and it's in the media a lot lately. But monitoring the site and operations against, like I said, the first line of defense for it is actually our batch plant operators and the other workers. And the most important thing is having them trained and understanding the importance of dust controls and why we're concerned about dust and its impact upon people and the environment. And then the last line of defense there, I guess, in some respects, is that we do have a disciplinary policy, and if workers are not meeting our expectations and or the expectations of the Environment Act license, we have a way of disciplining folks who don't want to follow the rules. The next thing is public complaints. Public complaints basically require a response by Manitoba Conservation. Then there's the Environment Act license enforcement itself. I mentioned the application process. It's a multidisciplinary review of the application. They also do an initial review of our startup, or initial startup. They review that. And then there's ongoing monitoring and response to any complaints. And in conclusion, by following the Manitoba Environment Act license requirements, the plant operation will have negligible impacts to safety, health, and environment. Thank you.
The last slide. Mr. Miller, thanks for your presentation. You've been doing this before. You've done these before, I'm assuming. What I found interesting here is your public complaints response by Manitoba Environment. Environmental Act license enforcement. In conclusion, Manitoba Environmental Act license. Throughout the entire, you kind of culminated and concluded on that slide. So really, all the information you're presenting is very interesting, but what does it have to do with this hearing? Because right now, we're dealing with a land use issue.
Yes.
When are you dealing with the environmental issues that everybody's concerned about? Where is that dealt with?
When?
Sorry? Yeah, where and when?
When we would submit the application to Manitoba Environment under the license application,
right?
That's where we would identify all of the mitigation measures that we would have to implement for the operation. And that's why I call this preliminary in the context of identifying what the potential hazards are and then what the controls can be, and then the environment conservation can come back, ask for more information, and then we would have to respond and say we will be doing it this way, and then they would award the application the license based only on that we do what we said we were going to do in the application.
Is there a public hearing?
There could be, if in Manitoba Conservation suggested that, yes.
Has one been called yet?
We haven't even put in an application, so.
I see. Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Your presentation. And also registered in support is Justin.
Councillor Sheen, if you don't mind, if I can just wrap up my part of the presentation before
okay,
we go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully I've been
able to depict and show that this is a significant investment in Transcona and in Winnipeg, and a multi-million-dollar investment at that, that will help both stimulate the economy and create dozens of new jobs in Transcona. We believe that the use that we are proposing is keeping with the surrounding, in the area, is keeping with the surrounding businesses that are already existing in the area. If you can go to that. As you can see by the drawing that we have Griffin Steel, which is M3. We have, which is the largest of them all. You have directly next to us, there are some both manufacturing. Over here, this we have Border Chemical up here, and I apologize if I'm not pointing to the right. I can't really see well because of the light. Up here, this land is also designated. This is actually Arma Springfield, which is designated MG, which is basically very close and similar to what the City of Winnipeg's M3 property is. It should be noted as well, as you can see by the diagram that, or by the rendering, that Griffin's property extends much further south and is significantly closer to the residents than the piece that we are requesting to be rezoned. You'll also note that that all of the land north of Gunn Road in the Arma Springfield, as I had mentioned before, is equivalent to M3. At this time, if it would please the clerk, I have some letters of support that I would like to submit. The final of which I have on the slide, and I will read out. The two letters of support that you'll see at the top are from are from residents that are on Valdi, both in this house and this house over here, and they are immediately affected homeowners who live on Valdi, and both of them are longtime residents in the area and are in support of our proposal. Finally, as you are all aware, Fort White, perhaps one of the provinces, if not one of Canada's ecological environmental jewels, is located in direct proximity in the south end of the city to Lehigh Inland, which is Manitoba's largest cement distribution facility, and City Mix, a significantly larger ready mix batch plant than we are proposing to build here. As you are also aware, Fort White has been entrusted to manage the Transcona Bioreserve, which is the area you see to the west. Bioreserve site and ongoing rehabilitation on behalf of Dom Tar. Mr. Bill Elliott, the president and CEO of Fort White Alive, has the following comments regarding Fort White's relationship with their cement plant neighbors and their feelings regarding our proposal next to the bioreserve that they have been entrusted with. I believe his comments are self-explanatory. I will read this for those of you who can't see. Thank you for your email concerning the proposed rezoning for a concrete plant near the Transcona Community Bioreserve that Fort White Alive manages on behalf of Domtar Inc. If it were not for the cement industry, there would be no Fort White Alive. As we have developed this wonderful facility around Lafarge's exhausted clay quarries and operated over the fence from their continuing operations for 40 years with no adverse effects. So Fort White offers no support or opposition to the rezoning and has no concerns. I think I'll let that speak for itself, and that concludes my portion of the presentation.
Any questions? Not right now. So we call Are we going to call him now, or are we going to wait till the presentation?
Let's see. We have Tony. You can call these people if they want to speak.
I call Justin.
I can't read the name. Glasson?
Giasson?
Giasson? Did you want to speak or just be recorded in support? Okay, thank you.
Next is Jackie Wilkie. Yep.
No? No,
Councillor
Wyatt said he has no questions about
it. Okay.
Okay. Is there anyone else in support of the application whose name has not been called that would like to speak? Seeing none, we have a number of people listed in opposition, and I believe that...
just need to take a washroom break.
Sure. Okay.
So we'll just have a two-minute break and allow the next delegation to come down.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll just call down Kim Poitras to get ready in 2 minutes to come down.